And so last week I began by saying, what is that best question? You know, things like, well, you know, who should I date? You know, who should I go out with? Things like, should I get this loan? You know, decisions I've made that I regret. And so we began looking for the right question. And the question that I proposed to you last week was not, is it the right thing to do? Because sometimes the right thing to do is not the best thing to do. It's not, is it permissible? Is everybody else doing it? Is it moral? Is it ethical? That's really not the right question. You know, yesterday I'd shared with you already that this guy I pulled out, he thought it was his turn, and I had been sitting there, and it was my turn. I was right. It was my turn to go, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't go. Because he started rolling, and I started rolling faster. All right? You know, and could I have been right but had a wreck? I mean, could I have been right and yet been wrong? Even though, so the right is not always the best question. Moral, ethical, everybody else, that is not always the best question. And so what I proposed to you last week was this. The best question, and we're going to look at it in a minute again, and we're going to kind of develop it some more this morning, was, is it the wise thing to do? Yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon, as I pulled out, when this guy did, what would have been the wise Christian thing for Gary to do? Slow down, relax, and let the moron go, right? Now, come on. I mean, that would have been the wise thing, you know? But we don't always do the wise thing. And so last week I challenged you, and I proposed these things. What is the wise thing to do in light of my current circumstances? In light of where I'm at right now, what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experiences and the things in my life that's went on in the past, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? And so I propose those questions to you and wanted you to begin to think about those questions. Questions like that involve, what about alcohol? You know, I get that question frequently. What about alcohol? Is there a verse in the Bible? See, that's the good one. Show me a verse. Show me a verse. You know, is there a verse in the Bible that says I can't drink? No. I can tell you the verse in the Bible that says be sober. I can even show you a verse that says take a little wine for your belly. You know, so if you're sick, not all the time. He was talking about when you're, you know, so I can show you all those kind of verses. But here's the question. In light of my past, in light of my family history, in light of the experiences in my life, what is the wise thing to do when it comes to alcohol? In light of my current circumstances, in light of my current situation, what is the wise thing to do when it comes to alcohol? In light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of where I want my life to be next year and 10 years from now, what is the wise thing to do? See, that's what I want us to think about. You know, and I was talking about, where's that line? See, we're always wanting to know where that line is. You know, how close can I get to that line? How far can I go sexually? You know, I want to be a virgin, but how far can I go before, you know, heavy petting and light petting? Come on now, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, we've all been there. How far can I go before I cross that line? In light of what you want to tell your children in the future, what is the wise thing to do? In light of your current situation and the way you usually behave when you go to that drive-in movie theater, now that's my generation, what is the wise thing to do? You need to know, I worked at a walk-in theater, and I had a projectionist, you know, the guy up in the stair that runs the camera. When he worked at the drive-in theater, he would take a pair of binoculars. All right? Yeah. I worked at the movie theater, and you'd be surprised what happens in a walk-in theater. You go down there with your flashlight, and you come back. Hey, go down to the third row, sixth seat over, see what's going on. I'm serious. Yeah. We want to know, how far can I go before I cross that line? But the question is, what is the wise thing to do? Well, I've been married, and it's on my second marriage. I'm kind of dating now. You know, isn't that just for the teenagers, right? You know, that sex thing for the teenagers. I've been married. Isn't it okay now for me? We're kind of in between marriages. It's permissible. We're just living together, and we're platonic. Three's company, right? Yeah. What's the wise thing to do? Now, what I'm hoping to do this morning is push your button. You need to know that. I'm talking about alcohol. Some of you get a little uncomfortable, squeaming in your little chairs. Living together. That's kind of, sex. That's always a good topic to talk about, really. Church, talking about sex, man, that really gets people uncomfortable. Yeah. And so what I wanted you to do this morning, because there's really three responses you can have to what I'm talking about. All right? One of your responses when I'm talking about sex and alcohol is, you know what? You're an old man, and you just don't get it. Yeah. It's not going to happen to me. You know, it's not about me. I know where the line is. I know how far I can go before I cross that line. I know when to stop. I remember having a conversation with some young men one time, and we had talked about sex. And you really, I love what they're teaching kids now, and what I really think is a great idea. Don't even start even holding hands. Don't kiss. Don't do any of that stuff, because you just start down the line. Pretty soon, holding hands isn't enough. Then it's kissing, and then it's embracing, and then it's, you can finish out the story. I don't need to get any more, do I? You know, and the guy goes to me, one of the kids go to me, well, I'm smart. And he was a very intelligent young man. And he was a very smart young man. He goes, I'm smart. I'm smart. And I look at him, I go, you ever seen a smart girl pregnant? And it's like, oh. It has nothing to do with intelligence. I'm just an old fogey, right? I'm a 50-year-old. I'm not going to tell you, a little over 50, all right? And so I'm just an old man, I'm overreacting about sex, I just don't get it anymore. Some of you are thinking that. Alcohol, I know where the line's at. I'm not going to drink that much. I'm not going to party that much. It's just, So some are going to think like that. Others are going to think like that, mind your own stinking business. You stay out of my bedroom and out of my liquor cabinet and we'll be all right. All right? Don't get nosy around me. I know what I can do. Yeah, I know how it is. I know the difference between right and wrong, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So you just mind your own business, preacher. And then there's others of you who are going to be like this. I don't think there's too many of you here like this, but I think there might be some here like this. Who in the world do you think you are? That's what I expect for some Baptist preacher. I've got my opinion. I know, and I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to argue with you about it. I got news for some of you. Some of you know who I'm talking about, and they might be with you. Don't look at them now, but they might be with you. All right? And so on your way home, they're going to argue against everything I say this morning. They're going to just point out every little flaw, every little thing. They're going to argue against everything I say. Because the question is it right or wrong? The question about alcohol isn't it right or wrong? It's not. But in light of my past experiences, in light of my family history, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of what I want to tell my children, when my daughter looks at me and says, "What did you do, Daddy?" My future hopes and dreams. What do I want to tell them? So you have three chairs. I got some chairs here. You have three chairs that some of you are sitting in one of these chairs this morning. And I want you to think about these. And I want you to think about how you fit into these chairs. And I've got a name for every one of these chairs that you're going to sit in. And we're going to look at it. Because here's what's amazing. This book I'm holding in my hand was written thousands of years ago. And there's a part of it written more than 1,000 years ago, several thousand years ago, called the Proverbs. It's written by a man that was considered the wisest man in the world, and still is. It's written by a man named Solomon. And do you know he describes every one of these individuals? He describes every one of these responses. And so I want to look at these responses, and I want you to think about it. The first response that I looked at and that we talked about is we have a fool. He describes a fool, and he describes a fool as someone who knows. They know. They've read the laws. They've read the stories. They know the road that it goes down. They know where it heads, but they're going to do whatever they want to do. They're just, you know, it's fine. I've heard it. I know the stories. But I really don't care. All right? I really don't. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's all going to work out then. I'll make it all work out. I'm going to do whatever I want. And he calls them a fool in the book. He also has a group that he calls naive. All right? And the naive is, I want to make sure you get a picture. He's not talking about being dumb. He's not talking about being stupid. He's not talking about someone who just doesn't know. He's talking about naive is that you just, it's a lack of experience. It's a lack of knowledge. You know? And it's a lack of judgment. All right? And so there's some out there that, you know, it's like I'm saying, I just don't get it. You know, I'm an old fogey. You know, I'm a prude. I'm a Baptist preacher. You just don't understand, preacher. And so some are naive. And the last one that Solomon describes are scoffers. Matter of fact, he calls them mockers. I thought that was a little over the top, so I went to scoffers. And a scoffer is somewhat like a fool. They know. They know. They know the difference between right and wrong. They know the wise decision they're going to make. But they don't care. They're going to do whatever they want, and then they're going to argue with you. Who do you think you are to mess with my life? You're trying to dictate to everybody in the world how everybody should behave. You're trying to impose all your religious beliefs on us, and they want to argue with you about it. We see that a lot today, don't we? And they want to attack our beliefs and attack those things. So I want to look at these three this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but you need to know something. I have, in my life, sat in every one of these chairs. I have. I have had times in my life when I knew what I needed to do and the right thing to do, but guess what? I did things my way. Like that song, right? My way. I've had times at Naive, and I've had times I've even argued with God. And so I want to look at it. So if you got your outline out, I begin at the top of the page with the very first verse that says this. Be very careful then how you live. All right? Pay attention to the way you're living. Pay attention to how you're making decisions. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's saying, think about how you're living. Think about the decisions you make. Not right or wrong, not moral or unethical. But what is the wise thing to do? Not even, what does the Bible say? That's the question I get the most. I'm a preacher. Well, what does the Bible say about premarital sex? What does the Bible say about internet pornography? Well, there wasn't even an internet back then. What do you think it's going to say? You know? So how do we deal with this? And so this morning, look at what it says. The very first one says the naive. The naive. The naive is, you know, this chair right here. The naive, you know, they just don't know. They just don't know. I mean, how can you, I'm not going to say, you need to know, this is not just the younger generation. You know, when you're 17 years old, you got 17 years of experience. What do you expect, okay? I mean, come on. I mean, 17, you know, I've lived 55 years. I still got a lot to, I got a few more years before. I'm over 50. Let's say I just lived a little over 50. Let's not go there yet. I'm not 55 yet, all right? You know what's amazing? Is the older I got, the smarter my parents got, and the dumber I got. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever notice that your parents would, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You get hot. Anybody get tired of hearing your parents? Come on, man. They're just not with it. They just don't get it. You know, they're just old fogies. You know, now you look back on it and you go, man, you know, they're getting smarter now. Naive has nothing to do with intelligence. It's nothing to do with being stupid. It's nothing to do with ignorance. It's just a lack of experience in life. Like I said, I'm a little over 50. I got 50 years of experience. You know what? I still got a lot of things to learn. One of my experiences, I tell you what's scary for me one time. I drive on to a military base to go see my son when he's coming back from Iraq. And I drive on to the base and I hear this, ba-boom, ba-boom. And it's like, am I going to drive in a place I shouldn't be and get hit? I had no idea where I was going, no idea what to do. And it's like you hear these guns going off and you're driving on this military base and it's like, can I get in the wrong place at the wrong time? I mean, this is going through my head. I'd never been on a military base. I wasn't in the service as a young man. I had no knowledge about it. I was naive about being on a military base. You know, and so it was Fort Benning. And yeah, I mean, you can hear those big old guns when you drive on. I mean, they just, I don't know what they were shooting, but you could hear those things. And it's like, and I go, I mean, nobody's telling you where to go, and I can drive all around that place. I'm sure somebody would have finally found me somewhere. Yeah. But I was naive. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I didn't get it. See, you don't have to be a teenager to be naive. Now, as teenagers, we need to understand. I want to encourage you as teenagers to understand that it's easy to be naive, and it's not your fault. It's not your fault you only had 17 years, 20 years, whatever it is. It's just where you're at right now. But we're all run through this possibility of being naive and just not getting it. And we always think, I can just slip through. It's not me. I'll be the different one. It's not me that's going to get the STD. The sexual transmitted disease, if somebody didn't know what that stood for. It's not me that's going to get pregnant. It's not me that's going to get in the accident because I drink too much. It's not me that's going to get caught up in that situation because I made an unwise decision. Problem is, he uses the word, look at what he calls them here. Oh, wait, let me go through this passage. Let me go a few minutes before I get to this passage. It's okay, leave it up there. What the author did here is, here's this older man sitting in his house looking out his window. As he's looking out his window, he sees a young man walk by. I want you to look at what this man is saying as he watches this transpire here. Again, it has to do with being naive. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. He's looking through his window, through the plants in the window. I saw among them the simple. All right, he's meaning the naive. I didn't call you simple. I'm saying naive because I've been naive myself. All right, the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was naive. He was going down the street near her corner. Anybody got an idea where he's heading? He's going down to South 9th Street, okay? All right? Hooker Row, all right? Prostitute Way, the brothel, whatever you want to call it. He's heading for the whore. Let's make it plain and simple. All right? He's walking down the street, heading toward the brothel, heading toward the loose lady, all right? And so he's walking down the street, and this old man is in the house, and he's watching the guy go by. And so the old man starts thinking. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight. Okay, it's dark, getting dark. Nobody's going to see me. Nobody's going to notice me. I'm naive, and nobody's going to watch me. Some old man in the window's looking at him, you know. I mean, yeah, you think you're going to get away with it? Yeah, some old man's going to be watching you. You know, maybe be the preacher. As the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. The woman's fault? It's not. All right. He's going the wrong way. Let's read on. Let's see what else it says here. At once he followed her like an ox going to slaughter. I like this old man. This old man is sitting there watching this young guy walk down the street to the whorehouse, okay? As he's walking down the street, he's looking at the guy going, oh, the poor kid. He has no idea what he's getting himself into. He has no idea where he's going. It's like that. It's like the guy's taking the cow to the slaughterhouse, has no idea, just trotting along. Here goes the cow. Cow has no idea. 10 minutes from now, it is dead as a doornail, all right? Cow has no idea that it's just calmly walking like nothing's wrong. And pretty soon, you know, hey, you're a dead cow soon. I mean, you know, and that's it. I mean, this old man's just sitting there watching. He said, the kid's naive. He just doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't get it. You know, he's not saying the kid's dumb. He's not saying the kid's stupid. He's saying he just doesn't get it. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird dodging into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. See, he's sitting there watching this kid, this man who's had experience in life. Maybe he's lived on this street for years and he's watched kid after kid walk down the street to the whorehouse, to the loose lady. And he's saying, he doesn't understand. He's naive. And again, I want to tell you, it's not an insult to be naive. See, here's the problem. Most of us don't realize we're naive until we're not anymore. You know what I'm saying? And we don't want to admit we're naive because we think when we admit we're naive, we're stupid. The other day, it's been several years ago when I was working on my doctor, I had to drive to Portland. So I'm flying down the road, had two other preachers with us in the car. We're flying up. We hit into Oregon. I had to get gas. I whip off at the gas station. We're in a rush. We had to make this trip. We're driving straight through, 11 hours straight through to Portland. And so I jump out, start pumping gas. My friend who's going to pay for the gas, because I was driving, runs in to pay for gas. Some guy comes out yelling at me, just screaming at me. He's off the hook. I'm going, this guy is weird, man. What in the world? You know what? It is against the law to pump your own gas in Oregon. I didn't know. I had friends from Oregon that didn't warn me. You know, they had the knowledge. And so I went up there naive, at 40 years old, naive about pumping gas in Oregon. I mean, how smart is that? How hard is it to pump gas? Yeah. It don't take a genius. But I guess in Oregon it does, okay? You know, I was naive. You know, the guy in the store sees me. He was off the hook. You know, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with experience. It has to do with knowledge. There's nothing wrong with being naive, okay? We've all been there. We've all sat in a chair where we've done things because we just didn't know. We didn't understand. And this old man is sitting there watching this kid go by in his window. You know, got his recliner. No TV back then, so what else do you eat? Look out the window, you know. I like going to the mall and watching people, you know. So he's just sitting there watching people go down the street. And he's just, in his head, he's just going, the guy just don't get it. The kid just don't understand. You know, I feel sorry for the kid. I mean, you know, I think we need to see this. And we need to hear this. That the naive basically, they just don't understand that there's consequences. There's consequences. There's consequences of that premarital sex. No, you might not get pregnant. And no, you might not get a disease. But what are you going to tell your 15-year-old daughter, your 13-year-old daughter? Matter of fact, what are you going to tell the lady or the man that you want to marry? What do you want to tell them? When they ask you about what you did in the past, are you going to have some things you want to hide? What are you going to do 30 years later, 50 years later, as you look back on your life and you go, man, what was I? Have some regrets and things you wish you hadn't done. See, just that lack of knowledge, that being naive, What about pornography? I mean, you know, it doesn't bother anybody. It's a victimless crime. I can sit there and surf the net and look at all those women all I want. And it's becoming, you need to know, I want to tell you guys something. The studies say it's not just men now. Pornography for women on the internet is on the rise. And it's a big deal now. And it's like, well, nobody knows, and it's not hurting anybody, and nobody sees me. And I'm going to tell you something. It does mess up your life. It does mess up things in your life. And so, you know, we sit back and we watch it. And then you guys see somebody like me, and some of you are sitting in this chair right now. Some of you are sitting in this chair, and you're just going, he just doesn't know. He's just an old man. You know, he's over 50 now. He's too old to understand. You know, he's too old to get it. You know, it's a new generation now. You know, women are burning their bras. Well, you know what? They've been doing that since the 60s. Get off of it. You know? See, there's something about being naive. And I want to tell you, it's not your fault. But here's the hard thing. There is hope. You know, there is hope. Yes, as teenagers, I got words for you. You do need to listen to your parents. You know, I hate to say it. You're going, now here he goes again. I don't want to, you know. But you do. It does make a difference. They do have some experience in life. They do have some knowledge that they can share with you. And I'm going to be honest, maybe they're not right all the time. I don't think I've been right all the time. 99.9% of the time, all right? Don't ask my kids, I'm just going to say it, all right? Yeah. But they really do want what's best. You know, and they're watching you like that man was watching that kid walk down the street, and they're going, listen, I don't want you to go that way. I don't want you to be that way. And so, yeah, it does. And there is hope. And it will work out. Look at what the scripture says. Oh, wait, that's it then. Forget it. We'll go to the full in a minute. Let me finish up. What I want to tell you is this. I'm going to wrap it up with this thought in the end, but I want to kind of plant the seed now. When it comes to the naive, there's hope because there's God. All right? There's a God who's bigger than you. There's a God who's smarter than you. There's a God who knows the future. There's a God who's all-powerful. A God who cares for you. And you know what we really got to do as a naive people? Even when I'm 50 plus years old, I've got to get to the point where I go, you know, God, you know more than I know. Is that amazing? God, you understand more than I understand. And so, God, I might not get it. I might think it's old. I might think that's the old way of doing things. I might think that's 2,000 years old. That doesn't matter. I might think I'm going to be the different one. But God, you're God, and I'm not, and I'm going to trust you. See, there's hope for the naive, okay? There really is. Just step back. God, you're God, I'm not. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to accept it, and I'm going to do it your way. See, what is the wise thing to do in light of my past experiences, my family history? What is the wise thing for me to do with alcohol? What is the wise thing for me to do with sex? What is the wise thing for me to do with, you fill it in.
Get
And so that's the fool.
And there's people out here, and some of you out here, you know, I agree with you, preacher. I know alcohol can be bad. I know alcohol can lead you on the wrong path. I know getting on the internet and surfing pornography is not the right thing. I know that having sex is on here, or having sex in between my marriages. Well, I'm 30 now. Isn't it a different rule, Lord? I know all that, Lord, but I'm still going to do it. God, I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work 80 hours a week. I'm going to ignore my children. I'm going to be through all of this. Disrespect my wife and get on all these pornography things. I'm going to tell you, the fire truck movie is well worth watching, folks. Well worth watching. And it degrades women. And once I hurt my wife, I'm going to tell you, yeah. It's not bothering anybody. And so I'm going to surf this and do this.
We're back. We're back. And, you know, and I'm going to do this. And, you know, I just don't care. It'd be different for me. I'll be the exception to the rule. You know, it won't turn out that way. I've got everything under control. You ever hear? Come on now. You guys ever hear that? They know where they're going. They've got it all figured out. And it's going to be okay in the end. I'll make it work some way. I'll get through this some way. And they got it all worked out. See, this is a fool. Look at what the scripture says. Fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. They enjoy it. They enjoy walking that line. Ooh, yeah. They like living on the edge. Sexually. Alcohol. I mean, I sit here and I watch these cases. Sometimes I go through the... It used to be court TV, and I watched one case not several years ago. She had been arrested 10 times for DWI, drinking while intoxicated, if you needed to know. 10 times. Duh. I mean, come on now. Well, I got it under control. And Pat, you know, and in light of my current situation, I've got it under control. In light of my past experiences, I don't know. See, the fool says in their mind, and they enjoy it. It's like a game with them. It's like a sporting event. How close can I get? I remember growing up, you know, the discussion when I was growing up about premarital sex was petting. And is it light petting and heavy petting and how far can you go? I love the conversations now that we really try, and I like what we tell our kids today. Don't even start down that line. They didn't have to worry where the line is. You know, don't even go there. What is the wise thing to do? See, the fool in his own mind can figure it all out. See, they just don't care. It's going to work out. I'll get through it. I'll face the consequences. You know, that's 10 years down the road. Yeah. You ever wonder, you know, some of us who are older now, you watch kids start smoking. Anybody, you know, you see these kids pick up cigarettes and start to smoke. And you ever just start wondering in your mind, man, don't they look cool? Right? I mean, come on. You know, we get older like this, and kids look so cool when they smoke, don't they? I mean, you know, you drive down the road and you see these kids walking home from middle school, puffing on a cigarette. Man, they look great. Aren't they so smart? They're so cool. Man, they've got it all figured out. They're walking down puffing on their cigarette. I mean, don't they look cool? Yeah. A fool in his mind, man. Whew, yeah, I've got it made. Yeah. We as adults look at that guy and go, wait till you cough up a part of your lung. Then you'll see what smoking feels like. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we know there's a consequences. They blow it off. It's not going to be me. I'm not going to get the cancer. You know, it's not going to be. I'll deal with that if I have to deal with that when I'm older. You know, Well, I won't become an alcoholic. You know, I just have it every once in a while. I'm not going to become an alcoholic. You know, I love the study I've seen that says alcoholism runs in families. There are predispositions in DNA for alcoholism. So in light of your past experiences, what is the wise thing? See, a fool in his mind, oh, I'll deal with that later. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Anybody say that? Come on now. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. And see, with a fool, they do have some hope. But it's hard with a fool. Have you ever shared with somebody that where they're going is going to lead in the wrong direction? That they're going to have some regrets? That it's not going to be really the path they want to go to you? And you hear this, I know. I know, I know, I know, I know. Just leave me alone. I know. Come on now. You ever hear anybody say that?
Yeah.
They've got it all figured out. I'll deal with it when I get there. I know. I know. You ever have teenage girls? Anybody have teenage girls? Come on now. You ever hear them? You tell them something, they go, huh? Come on now. You ever see the teenage girls do that? Now, come on. They just, like, I understand that. You know, who do you think you are? Yeah. That's a fool. You know, you do have a choice. You do have a chance. Look at what the scripture says. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I like that verse. Laura told me not to use it. Anybody ever seen a dog go back to after it pukes? Come on now, make you sick. Come on now, you ever seen a dog do that? You know, it throws up and then it goes back. Come on, I'm trying to make you guys sick. How many fools do that? They mess up, there's the line, and they get back and they go, whew, that was close. And they get right back up to line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. That's what it says, a fool. You know, it's like, I see it. You know, they just go right back to it. Well, I know I shouldn't drive. I know I shouldn't turn the internet on while I'm by myself in the dark at home. I know I shouldn't go to that water fountain and talk to that girl. I'm serious. You need to pay attention to these things. See, a fool. But there's hope. See, the hard thing for a fool is this. Here's the bad thing. They know. They know, they know, they know. They know what they know, okay? But the hard thing for a fool is, the way a fool learns is when it hits bottom. Look what the scripture says. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. I know. I know. Yeah. Anybody ever had their teenager tell them that? Anybody tell you that at work, that coworker? I mean, I know. I know I should do it this way. I know I shouldn't do that. I know. But the way a fool learns is when they hit rock bottom. When there's no place else to turn but up. Although I have read a job evaluation from some guy. It went like this. Guy is working. He has hit bottom, and he continues to dig now. He just dug himself a hole, and he's digging down more. Instead of turning up, he's going down. See, I want to challenge you. A fool, you get that bottom, and I'm sure you said that about some people. Come on. You know that, well, when they hit bottom, they'll realize. Huh? When they finally get down to the bottom of the barrel, when they finally get down to where there's no other hope, when they finally get down to where it's over, then they'll turn around and look up. That's what the Bible says a fool does. When it's finally at the end, when it's finally almost done, they'll turn around. But here's what's sad. This is really sad. If you're a fool, listen to me. Okay? Because here's what's sad. And you need to know, again, I want to make sure you know, I've sat in this chair. I've been here. I'm 50 plus years old and I still sometimes sit in this chair. But here's what's bad. It doesn't just hurt you. Look at the scripture. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of a fool. Let's go on to the next one. That would deal with the thing. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. When you're being a fool, I want you to think about this. It's not only you that pays the price. It's your family. It's your kids. It's your wife. It's your spouse. Whoever it is, they pay a price. A companion of a fool suffers. So if you feel, well, yeah, I've got this, and yeah, it's not going to hurt anybody, and yeah, I know I'm right on the edge, I know all this, and you think you're okay, you need to know that there are others who love you, others who care about you, who pay the price for your foolishness. It's not just about you. I want to tell you something. There is no such thing as a victimless crime. Period. There is no such thing. Everything we do affects somebody else. I don't care what you think you do that, oh, it doesn't bother anybody else. I'm going to tell you something. Everything you do has an impact on somebody somewhere in your life. There is no such thing as, well, I'll do this because it's not going to affect anybody else. Everything you do will have an impact on somebody else. And what this says is, when a fool is foolish, more people suffer and not just him. And so I want to encourage you, don't wait till you hit bottom. Turn. Turn to God again. See, there's hope for the foolish. All right? And so turn to God and see that. Now I'm going to look at the last one, the scoffer. I'm not going to take much time here with the scoffer. I have sat in this chair myself. The scoffer, he knows what's right and wrong. He's got life all figured. He knows it's wrong. He knows where that line is. He knows he shouldn't cross it. He knows. He's like the fool in that respect. They know. But the thing with the scoffer is he's wanting to argue with you about it. He wants to get in your face about it. See, the fool just blows you off. Yeah, you're old. You don't get it. It's a new generation. It's a new day. It's a new time. That's the fool. The scoffer, he wants to get in your face. He wants to argue. He wants to make you look like an idiot. Who do you think you are? Trying to impose your religious beliefs on everybody else? What makes you so special? We're tolerant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you've seen the scoffers? You know, they know it all and they got all the answers and they want to make sure everybody knows it. They've got it all figured out and it doesn't matter. It's none of your business. And matter of fact, they make it their business to be your judge. Yeah. If you're a scoffer here this morning, like I say, you're going to get in the car. Whoever's with you, I feel sorry for you, okay? If you're riding with a scoffer, I'll pray for you. Don't raise your hand, all right? Because I want to pray for you. Because you're going to get an earful on the way home. They're going to argue everything I said against everything I said. That's that Baptist preacher. I told you those guys. They want to tell everybody what to do. They want to tell everybody how to live. They don't know. They just think, who do they think they are? You're going to get an earful on the way up because they've got it all figured out. They want to argue with you. They want to prove me wrong. You can't deal with a scoffer, period. Here's what I want to tell you. Like it or not, if you're a scoffer, here, listen to this. There's no hope for you. All right? You are a lost cause if you are a scoffer. Look what the Word of God says. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. You get the picture? Yeah. The mocker, the scoffer, they're going to argue with you. There's no hope. They're not going to change their mind. They got it all figured out. They're going to prove you wrong. Your religious beliefs. I mean, come on. Do you ever see this on TV today? You ever watch the news? You got these people out here wanting to argue about everything. Yeah. Who do you think you are? Freedom of speech. You can do everything at school. You know, you can do anything at school but pray. I'm serious. The Florida case, we were talking the other day, there's a Florida case. These two administrators got in trouble for prayer. The judge just dismissed the case. I heard it the other day. You know, they got in trouble because it wasn't an organized prayer. They came in and tried to file suit on these guys at a private meeting, nothing to do with school. And they filed suit on them. Because you can do any. Because, see, we got to make sure we keep the school. Who do they think they are? See, that's the scoffer. and there's no hope. They're not going to change. They're going to argue everything. It's not going to work. Look at the next verse. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. He's saying, the only thing you can do is get rid of them. Get rid of them. Ain't nothing you can do with them. You can't argue with them. You can't rationalize things with them. You can't logically discuss things with them. It's not going to work. Just get rid of them. There is no hope for the scoffer. But here's what I want you to know. There's no hope for the scoffer, not because of God, but because of the scoffer. All right? Because the scoffer's got it all figured out. And he doesn't need God. He doesn't need God's wisdom. He doesn't need God's help. He doesn't need God involved in his life. He's got life all figured out, and he's got life all handled right, and he's just going to do what he wants, and when it's all over, and it's done. And so when I'm saying there's no hope, I want to tell you, the no hope is on the scoffer's head, not God. Because Jesus Christ died for whom? I want you guys to answer that one. Jesus died for whom? All. Everyone. Can everybody say everyone? One, two, three. All right. Jesus. So when it comes to the scoffer, it's not God's fault that there's no hope. They've got their minds made up. They want to argue. That's why if you're riding home with one, get some earplugs. Because you're not going to change their mind, all right? Don't argue. Don't discuss. Just sit there. Hum or something. I don't know. Turn the radio loud. I don't know. You know, figure out what to do because there's no hope until they drop the barrier. God is always reaching out to everyone. God has not turned his back on anyone, and he never will. When Jesus died on this cross, his arms were open that whosoever will come can come. That we have to decide. And so what Solomon says with a scoffer, man, there's just not much you can do. There's not much you can do. So here's where I want to end up with this. If you look at your outline, I already gave you the word, just circle it. Circle the word wise. Circle the word wise. Because here's what it's all about. What is the wise thing for me to do? It's not about what's right, what's acceptable, what's pleasurable. I know. What's appealing, what's moral, what's ethical. What's everybody else doing? How close can I get to the line? It's not all about that. It's about what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my current sermon, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Whether it's dealing with your finances, your sex life, whatever it is, the question is not, show me the verse, preacher. Show me that verse that says. Because see, we think if the Bible doesn't say no, then I can do it, right? As long as the Bible doesn't say do not, shall not, then it's permissible. What is the wise thing to do? I want you to look at this passage. It's a rather long passage, but I want to read through this, and we're going to kind of walk through this verse together. Because here's what I want you to see. Solomon writes about wisdom like it's a woman. And so he's painting this picture. This is a beautiful picture of wisdom. He's painting this picture of wisdom like a beautiful woman. So walk through this with me and see what he says about being wise. Wisdom calls out aloud in the street, okay? He's saying, here's this woman calling on the street, wise. It's like, here's wisdom. It's like a woman calling out, come. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speeches. It's like the preacher standing up, yelling at you. I hope I'm not yelling this morning. Sharing with you the truth of God's word. Wisdom is crying out to you. That's what it's sitting here saying. Wisdom is crying out to you this morning. What's the wise thing to do? How long will you simple ones? Ooh. How long will the naive ones love your naive ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Boy, you ever see all this? Let's go on. If you had responded to my rebuke, if you had heard, wisdom is sitting here. Now listen, this is wisdom. Wisdom, not God, wisdom. Wisdom is saying, listen, I don't care if you're naive, a fool, or a mocker. If you had just listened to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. I would have given you wisdom. If you would just listen to me, I would give you wisdom. What is the wise thing to do in light of my past? What is the wise thing to do in light of my current circumstances? What is the wise thing to do in light of my hopes and dreams as it relates to my finances, as it relates to my sex life, as it relates to my whatever? But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, you guys aren't going to have an excuse because the preacher this morning preached it. That's what it's sitting here saying. Since you ignored all my advice, well, it's just the old preacher, and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. You ever think wisdom sometimes laughs at the dumb things you did? Have you ever laughed at the dumb things you did? I have. I got to the point where, man, I was so stupid. I'm scanning some old pictures. I'm digitizing all my old pictures and putting them in my computer, and I'm looking at some of those old pictures, and it's like, oh, man, what was that? I got some really neat clothes when I was younger. I got a green leisure suit. Now, you know, the old green leisure, it was green. I had a plaid jacket. I mean, oh, man, what was I thinking? I laugh at myself now. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. Listen. He's sitting there saying, when all this comes, then it's going to be, what was I thinking? That's not good enough. You still have the consequence. When you make a bad decision, the consequences are going to come. And you can't stop it. All right? They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. You reap what you sow. Isn't that what it says? For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fool will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. Do you get the picture of what he's saying here? He's saying, let's go back to Ephesians, put all these passages, put all God's word together. God is sitting there saying, listen, be careful the way you live. Don't be unwise, be wise. Listen to that wisdom, because if you don't, there's consequences. You really don't want to go there. Isn't that what it's saying? There's things, if you go that path, you really don't want to be there. Don't go that way. Listen to me. Because if you get down that road, I can't do anything for you. It's too late. Come back now to me. And there's safety with God. See, I think this is a beautiful picture. We can be naive. We can be fools. We can be scoffers. I think the one seat I don't think I sit in anymore. I really, you know, whatever God says, I'm going to do. So I'm pretty much ready to get rid of this seat. If that's yours, I'm sorry. You know, that one's not mine. But I have to be honest, I'll sit in these seats. I think I was probably yesterday in that stupid driver. I was probably being a fool. Laura was telling me that, but I wouldn't listen to her. You know, it's like, you know, it's my turn and I'm going to go, period. You think you're going to go? I'm going to go faster. Yeah, I was probably being a fool. Don't tell Laura I told you that. She's not in here, okay? I don't want her to know she's right. I think most of us go between these seats. I want to ask you, what seat are you sitting in? With what I said today, where are you sitting? Alcohol? Pornography? Sex? Before marriage? In marriage? Extramarital affairs? Come on. Finances? What is the wise thing to do? Look at the next scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, here's one of my struggles. If we trust God to take us to heaven, And if we really believe God wants us to go to heaven and be with him forever and ever, why are we so stubborn about what he wants us to do here on earth? You know what I'm saying? Why do I feel I've got to do things my way? Why do I have to be the fool? Why do I have to be naive? If I really believe God created this world and created a big, beautiful world that we've messed up, and that God really wants it to be a big, beautiful world, and he really does, but we messed it up, and we continue to mess it up. And if I really believe that, that's what it's saying. The fear here is not, oh, I'm afraid God's going to drop a ton of bricks on me. I'm not afraid God's going to come down and just zap Gary. Now, I do fear God, all right? But that's not the kind of fear I have. My fear is an awe and a respect of God. That, you know, if God can build this complicated mass world, that I'm going to tell you, I don't see how a scientist can say, well, it just came out of nothing. I mean, there was nothing and then there was something. I don't know. Until they can explain nothing coming something, science is a fool, all right? I'm going to tell you that. I honestly believe science is a fool. Until you can explain how nothing produced something, you're a fool, all right? I mean, there was a Big Bang. Well, where did that Big Bang come from? Yeah. I'm one of those guys, you know, I've been through school. I got all that education. I've been through those science classes. But until you can tell me how something came from nothing, you got nothing on me. I can tell you where something came from nothing. God spoke, and there was something going on. And if I believe all that, you know what? I'm going to trust God with my life. I don't understand, God, why you said don't do this. And why you said I shouldn't do this. And why you really didn't say anything about that. But the wise thing to do is this. I don't understand it, God, but I'm going to do it. That's what wisdom is. It's not about getting it. It's not about figuring it out. It's not about understanding everything God has done. It's about understanding, you know, he's God and I'm not. Duh. And if he's God, he's a lot smarter than me. You know, the one thing I realized as I went through school, I look at knowledge this way now. Knowledge for me is an upside-down pyramid. All right? Put it on its point. Because the higher I go with my knowledge, the more I realize I don't know very much. There's a lot more out there that I don't know. When I'm younger, I can know everything because there's not a lot to know. Mom's going to set the table. I'm going to eat dinner. There's not a lot to know. But as I got older, I realized, man, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But guess who knows all of it? God does. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God. That's God, I don't get it. I don't know why you said don't do that. I don't know why you didn't say anything about that, but wisdom says I should do this. I'm going to do this. I don't understand it. I don't get it with my finances. I don't get it with what I drink. I don't get it with what I do sexually. I don't understand it. It feels good. Why can't I do it? I don't understand all that, God. But since you said it, I'm going to do it. That's wisdom. And if you want that, all you got to do is ask. Look at the word. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. When you're making a decision and you're wrestling with life, the best decision, this is the question. Last week, the best question was, what was the best question? What is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing? In light of my current circumstance, what is the wise thing? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing? Now, the best decision that you can make is, God, you're wise, I'm not. I'm going to trust you. Look at the bottom of your page. I trust God with my decisions. That's the best decision you can make. It's not how much you know, because we're all naive in some ways. You don't think you are? You've never been on an army base? Go out there and drive on Fort Bragg and hear those guns go off and go, where do I go? I don't want to get hit by one of those shells flying over. Go to Oregon and try to pump your own gas and get yelled at like I did. I mean, come on. Don't be a fool. And surely, don't be a scoff. I can't do anything for you. I got a God that I'm going to pray for you. But I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. You got to just change. I'm sorry. You just got to humble yourself and go to God. So I want to ask you, will you trust God today? With every decision, will you ask, what is wise? What is wise? What is the wise thing for me to do. I'm not smart enough to figure it all out. I don't understand everything. But the one thing I do know is that God loved me, He sent His Son to die for me, and He wants to help me have the best life possible. I like John 10:10. That's not anywhere on your notes, but you want to write John 10:10. That Jesus says, I've come and promised you not just life, but an abundant life, a meaningful life. John 10:10. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Do you believe me? Will you trust God with your decisions? It's the wise thing to do. You're in a chair. What chair are you sitting in? Let's pray.